Psalm chapter 1. Let me just read. Tell you what, I'll just read the whole chapter.
You can just 6 verses, can't you? It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we preach. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. And God, I ask that you just help us, Lord. Father, you know that without you, we can do nothing. And God, I ask that you touch us, that you bring back to our mind the things that you've shown us, Lord, that you give us liberty to preach. And God, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you just take the truths of your word, Lord, and touch the hearts of these young people, Lord. God, I pray that you'd mold and shape their lives, Lord. Just make champions of them, Lord. God, I ask that you'd put a fear and a hatred of sin in their hearts and their lives, Lord. Guard their purity, Father. And God, just help them, Lord. Give them hearing ears, Lord. God, I pray that you just give them a tender heart, Lord, that your word would just be, the seed would just be planted, Lord. And God, just be honored and glorified tonight, Lord. Just help us, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, guys, let me tell you something. Every decision you make in life has consequences. Every decision you make, and many times you're going to deal with those consequences for the rest of your life. And the pastor said this, and I'll just say it again. The 3 biggest decisions you'll make in your life, you're going to make them more than likely when you're young, that are going to affect the whole rest of your life. And I don't mean to sound mean when I say this, but the biggest decisions you're making them when you have very little sense. I mean, that's just how it is. The biggest, the pastor said this, you know, you could tell me right now the 3 biggest decisions you'll ever make. One of them is salvation. Here's the decision. What are you going to do with Jesus? Did you know a lot of people? I saw this statistic, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it says that 85% of the people that are saved between the ages of 4 and 14. See, here's what happens. The older we get, God speaks to us when we're young. We have that tender heart. God speaks to us, shows us that we're lost and on our way to hell. And if we don't deal with it then, if we reject Him, you know what happens? We get a little callous towards it. Our heart gets hard. And the older we get, we start getting out in the world. The things of the world start taking our heart. And before long, we don't even think about it. The biggest decision you'll make is what you do with Jesus. Secondly, is who you're going to marry. Pastor dealt with this a few weeks ago. You marry wrong and you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. You'll have some good times, but you're never going to know what... You will never know the perfect peace and joy that comes with having who God chose for you. And then your job. What are you going to do with your life? Brady, you're getting old. I mean, you're 17. Some of you others, I mean, you're going to be making decisions. What you're going to do for the rest of your life? Do you know you can take a job, a career to where you're working 60-plus hours a week? You don't have time to serve God. Now, is that God's will for your life? Here's what we think. You need a job that you're just going to make an enormous amount of money where you can just stockpile it. That ain't why God gives us work. You know why we have a job? God uses that to provide for our needs. Let me read this. Ephesians 4:28 says this. Says the reason... I can't even quote it. Flip over to it. Let me just let you read it. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Hey, we work and we labor and God blesses us and we provide for our family. And you know what we're to do? We're to help others in need. See, here's what happens a lot of time. You may be the answer to somebody's prayer. God may bless you financially where you can be able to help somebody else in need. Anyway, here's all I'm saying. The biggest decisions you're going to make in life, you're making when you're young. And there have been people that have destroyed their lives before the age of 25. I know a young man right now, 18 years old. I don't know how he's going to dig his way out of the mess he's in. I mean, I'm looking at his situation. He don't even realize the shape his life's in, but I see it. And I don't know that he'll ever get straightened out. You know what? 18 years old, and already his life's a mess because of the decisions he's made. They make those decisions, those choices, thinking that it's going to bring them happiness. And it may bring temporary happiness, but it don't last. I saw this young lady one time. She's fixing to go to jail. She's made the choices she's made. Her life's in a mess. She's crying. She's scared. She's fixing to go to jail. And here's what she kept saying. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. All my life, I just wanted to be happy. Probably around 25 years old. And that was her. That's all she wanted. 25 years old, she's fixing to go be locked away. And here's what she kept saying. I just want to be happy. And you know what? Everybody wants to be happy. Do you not want to be happy? God wants you to be happy. Now, I can understand why the sinner's unhappy. I mean, he's lost. He's on his way. He doesn't have God. I mean, I can understand why he's unhappy. He's got sin to deal with. But this is what's so sad, is I see God's people that are unhappy. Saved, born again, on their way to heaven. I mean, they've got a friend in Jesus. They got eternal life. God's providing for the needs of their life. And they're unhappy. You know why? Because of the choices they've made. Because of the decisions they've made in their life, they're unhappy. Guys, just because you're saved does not mean that your life is just going to turn out grand. Listen, the devil wants to destroy your life. And you know how he's going to try to do that? By getting you to make the wrong choices. If he can get you to make the wrong choices, then you know what? You're going to find yourself in some bad circumstances, some bad situations. And so, here's what I want to look at for just a little bit tonight. How can you make the right choices? Let's call this road to happiness. How can you make the right choices that, listen, we're not focused on that, you know, I hope you're all happy. But I want you to understand, how can the choices you make today, you're going to deal with 20 years later. How can you make sure that the choices you're making right now as a young person, you're going to be happy 30 years from now, that they're the right choices? How do you know? Here's what we're going to look at for a few minutes. In Psalms chapter 1, here's what the Lord's telling us right here. The blessed man. That word blessed, it means happy. In these first few verses, we're going to see God's pattern or God's instructions if you want to be happy. If you want to have a happy life, where does it start? And here's the first thing I see. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not and the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be happy, here's something you're going to have to have. You're going to have the right counsel. A happy man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That word counsel, it means advice. Now listen, we all need advice. Proverbs tells us there's multitude of counselors or safety. You're going to face situations you don't know what to do. And when you get in those situations, it is a perfect opportunity for the devil to trip you up, to lay a trap for you, a snare. And I might as well tell you this, one thing you're never going to run short of is advice. As soon as you say, I don't know what to do, you know what? Everybody's going to be telling you what to do. Everybody's got an opinion. They may not know how their life needs to go, but they know how yours does. You need advice. You need to have the right counsel. The blessed man, the happy man, he doesn't obey ungodly counsel. Now, here's my question. How do you know if the advice you're receiving is ungodly? If a man is successful, do you listen to him? Is he going to give you good advice? How about if I only ask advice from people that love me? Did you know I saw a preacher one time give somebody ungodly advice? I've seen parents give their children ungodly advice. Now, they weren't doing it maliciously. They weren't trying to trip their children up. The preacher that I'm thinking of, he wasn't trying to trip people up. You know what? He just made a mistake. He gave some advice that really he shouldn't have. Obeying ungodly advice will cause you to end up not having a happy life. How do you know if you're receiving the right advice? And you know exactly where I'm going with this. It lines up with the Word of God. When you're needing counsel, you're in a situation, you need some advice, you need some counsel, and somebody tells you something, and it does not line up with what thus saith the Word of God, you know what? It's ungodly advice. They may have had the very best intentions. They may be really be trying to help you, but you know what? That doesn't make them right. I love my children. I want to do everything I can, but you know what? I can still give bad advice. I'm not above it. Guys, let me tell you this too. The philosophies of the world make sense to the flesh. The world's going to twist things and tell you, well, right here's what you need to do. And in your flesh, you're going to think it makes sense. I had a friend one time when I was in school, and he stole some stuff. And here's what he was saying. It was in their barn. It'd been there for 5 years. They weren't using it. They won't even know it's gone. They had six of them. I just took one. It's not a big deal. And you know what he did? There was a few of us standing there. And you know what those other guys said? Yeah, that's right. They'll never know it's gone. Hey, it made perfect sense to them. But here's the problem. God said, thou shalt not steal. It doesn't matter how good it sounds or how much sense it makes. If it does not line up with the Word of God, guys, leave it alone. Hey, we're talking about the man that's happy. And here's what we see. He has the right counsel. When you're getting this advice and somebody's telling you, well, that's what the Bible says, ask them to show it to you. Here's what I found out. A lot of people that will say, well, the Bible says this. Guess what? It ain't in the Bible. I don't know if they've convinced themselves it is or whatever, but if somebody's telling you, hey, right here's what God says you need to do, find it in the Scriptures. Make sure it's there. Guys, here's what you're going to run into. When you get godly counsel, your flesh ain't going to like it. Your flesh is against God, and it's against the things of God. And when you are faced with a decision, you've already decided what you want to do. You've decided what's going to make you happy. I mean, whether it be the decision, whatever it may be, in your mind, you've decided this is the course I want to go. This is what's going to make me happy. But you know what? You're going to find out the Word of God will tell you you're wrong. The Word of God goes against our flesh. And guys, there's pleasure in sin for a season. You can disobey God's Word. You can do all this thing. And you may find pleasure in it for a little bit. But you know what the end result is? It's unhappiness. Guys, here's all I'm saying. You want to lead a happy and a joyous life? Here's where it starts. You got to have the right counsel. You got to have a group of people that you listen to. Listen, it's not always your friends. Rehoboam listened to his friends, didn't he? There was that old man that gave him some good counsel. He chose to listen to his friends. And how'd that work out? He made a mess of his life. Guys, here's all I'm saying. You want to be happy. And I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about 20 years down the road. Where's your life going to be? It's going to be based on the decisions you make now. You got to have the right counsel. But then secondly, notice this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The happy man has the right counsel, but he's also got the right companions. He's not standing with sinners. Guys, let me tell you something. If you want to have a happy life, you got to have the right friends. You got to have the right friends in your life. Some of the closest people in your life should be those that you go to church with. And I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about everybody. There should be nobody closer than the people you go to church with. Those brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's why. Here's why that's so important. Because the devil is always beating us down and discouraging us. But you can get around God's people. They know what your struggle is. They're going through the same battles you are. They will encourage you. They'll help you. They'll bear your burdens. Hey, I could call Brother Brian and say, Brother Brian, man, would you pray for me? I'm struggling spiritually. I don't know what to do. And you know what he'll do? He'll pray for me. Let me ask you young people, the friends that you have, what do you think your friends would do? If you should just say, listen, will you pray for me? I'm struggling spiritually. I need you to pray for me. You know what they'll do? They'll laugh. You know why? They don't understand. They don't understand. You need to make sure you've got the right companions in life, the right friends. Ungodly friends, those ungodly companions, they're going to influence your life. Your life, listen, young people, I love you, but you know what? You're all very influential. Every one of y'all. You get around ungodly people, and you know what? You're going to talk the way they talk. You're going to act the way they act. You're going to dress the way they dress. You're going to think the way they think. You're going to listen to the music they listen to. All those things. You know why? Because it influences you. Why not get around God's people? Hey, they're going to influence you too. But you know what they're going to influence you to do? To talk right. To dress right. To act right. To do the right things. And see, here's what we don't think about. When our kids are little, parents, when our kids are little, here's what I think, it's not that big a deal. But those friends, when they're 8, when those friends turn 16, and they're driving, they're from ungodly homes, and they're doing everything in the world, and they're dragging your kids around with them, it's going to be a different story. Guys, here's all I'm saying. If you want a happy life, you got to have the right counsel. You got to have the right advice. But you got to have the right companions. But then notice something else. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed or the happy man, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know what that word scornful means? It means to mock or belittle. Scorners mock and make fun of the Word of God. Now, why would they do that? Why would anybody make fun of you for wanting to live for the Lord? I want to tell you why. They don't believe the Bible. The reason they mock and belittle, they do not believe the Word of God. Here's what I want you to see. If you want to live a happy life, you've got to have the right conviction. Here's what the scorner does. He don't believe the Word of God. Here's what your conviction has to be. Are you listening to me? You've got to get the conviction that God's Word is right all the time. It doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody thinks. Here's my conviction. The Word of God is right. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, you have got to have the mindset right now that the Word of God is right, regardless of what's taking place. Don't wait. Listen. When you believe, here's what convictions will do to you. Convictions will give you some direction in life. When you have the conviction that God's Word is right and you're obeying what God says, you know what? It's going to keep you out of a lot of problems. It'll direct your steps. It will direct your path. Guys, sometimes there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to count on and it's not going to make sense. You're going to be doing, the Word of God will tell you to do something, how you're to live, and it don't make sense to the flesh, but you know what? Just do it. God's right. We may not understand a lot of things, but God is always right. Study the Word of God. Rightly divide it and obey what it says to do. Guys, guys, you need some convictions now. What is a conviction? Here's what a conviction is. It's something that you know what God says. You believe it and you obey it and you're going to do it regardless, no matter what happens. Don't wait until you're faced with temptation and then decide if something's right or wrong. Amen. Let me give you an example. Alcohol. I mean, we're not going to go through. I could go through the Bible and I could show you how alcohol's wrong. I mean, I could do that. And here's what's going to, you're all, every one of y'all at some point in your life, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be around somebody that has alcohol. I pray you doesn't, but there's a good chance at some point in your life, you're going to get around somebody that has alcohol, that's using alcohol. And here's the conviction you have that it's wrong. And when you get around that, you don't sit around and say, well, I don't know if I should stay or not. You run. You get away from it. Why? Because that is your conviction. You know the Bible teaches it's wrong. It's wrong. And you're not going to have anything to do with it. See, convictions will direct your steps. Now, here's what the scorner does. The scornful, he has no convictions. In fact, he makes light of the Word of God. He tells you why you're foolish for trying to live by the Word of God. And they'll justify why it's okay. I have heard countless people justify to me why it's okay to drink alcohol. Why it's okay to listen to rock music. I mean, we could just go all down the line. You name the sin, and at some point, I promise you, somebody's tried to justify it to me. You know what they are? They're a scorner. They don't believe the Word of God. They're mocking it. And guys, I want you to notice the progression right here. Look at verse 1 again. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's walking. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now he's standing. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He goes from walking to standing to now he's sitting. Guys, when you obey, when you walk in ungodly counsel, when you obey ungodly counsel, you know what it's going to cause you to do? Ungodly counsel is always going to pull you away from God and lead you into the world. When you get in the world, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find yourself having the wrong companions. You're going to get yourself around people that really don't want to live for God. And if you stay there long enough, you know what happens? You go from standing to now you're sitting. And you'll find yourself being just... Notice it says right here, sitteth in the sea the scornful. Hey, he's the one heading it up. He's the one mocking. He's the one belittling the Word of God. Here's what happens. If we don't get grounded where we... at a young age of what's right and what's wrong, we get ungodly advice, we sway out into the world, we get around sinners, we get around that crowd, and before long, we're mocking the Word of God. Hey, we're justifying why God's Word really isn't true. Guys, you got to get to the place to where God's Word is right, and you obey it. But then I want you to notice something else. Let me give you one more right here. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's got the right counsel. The happy man's got the right counsel. He's got the right companions. He's got the right convictions. But he's got the right craving. You know what brings delight to his life? The Word of God. He delights in it so much, that's all he thinks about. That's all his mind is on. He's just thinking about the Word of God. God's a happy man. Loves the Word of God. You know why people hate the Bible? Because it reveals to them what they are. The sinner hates the Word of God. Here's why. Because it shows him that he's a sinner. Excuse me. It shows him that he's a sinner, that the judgment of God is upon him, and he's going to go to hell when he dies. And it makes him angry. He don't like the Word of God. The Word of God always reveals to us exactly what we are. And I love it for it. Listen, there's a lot of time. Here's what happens. As you grow spiritually, your flesh comes in play and you start thinking, man, I'm pretty good. You start thinking you're something. But you know what the Word of God always does? It always brings you right back down to the ground. I love the Lord, but then the Word of God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I have to hang my head and say, man, I don't love you as much as I thought I did. Guys, how do you fall in love with the Word of God? I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to be happy, you got to love the Word of God. How do you fall in love with it? Let me tell you how you fall in love with it. You spend some time in it. Guys, there is nothing, if you will read it and daily spend some time in it, and don't just read to be reading your three chapters or whatever you do, sit down and read. Just read to see what God's doing. And you start spending some time and you start seeing all the wonderful things that God's done for His people over the years. And then you get over there and you start seeing all them promises that He's made to you and how He loves you above all things. And you just start going through. And you know what you'll do? You'll find yourself wanting to please Him. And you know how you please Him? By lining your life up with His Word. I love the Word of God. There is nothing Guys, I can't even explain it. Some of y'all know what I can remember a time in my life just sitting and just reading to be reading. I knew I was supposed to read my Bible, and so I'd read every night. I just read. The next night, I just read. But then one night, something happened. I can remember sitting right there on my couch, my old house. Many of y'all been in it. There was that island right there in the middle of the floor. And I can remember sitting there on that couch, and the Holy Spirit just coming up, putting His arm around and saying, looky right there. And man, that inward man just started swelling. I can remember just walking around that island. I could not sit there. It was about 12 o'clock at night, Brother Brian. I could not sit still. I mean, I was just feasting off the Word of God. Come home from work the next night, and you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to sit there and read that Word of God. You know why? I want God to speak to me again. And you know what? He doesn't always. There's been times even now I'll sit down, I'll read, and I may not get nothing. But you know what I'm always looking for? I'm always looking for Him. Always looking for those times when He's just going to move and just flood my soul like He did. See, when you start spending time with somebody, that's when you're going to start realizing how wonderful they are. Guys, you're never going to fall in love with the Word of God if you don't read it. If you don't give it the proper place in your life, if it does not have the preeminence in your life, you're never going to be happy. There'll be periods of happiness in your life, but here's what we're dealing with. We're looking at somebody that's happy 20 years from now. Because the choices and the decisions you make today, that's what you're going to live with. Guys, there has to be a desire to have fellowship with God. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to be like some of these people I know that are 20 years old and their life is already so messed up. It's just going to take an act of God for them to have any peace and joy in their life. I don't want you to be one of these that sit in church your whole life and just miserable. I want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. Here's how you do it. The happy man, he has the right counsel. Don't allow the world to influence your life. The world is the enemy of God. Therefore, it should be your enemy. Don't obey any advice that pushes you and promotes the world, that pushes you into the world or promotes the world in your life. It's ungodly. Get the right counsel. Have the right companions. Get you some godly friends that love the Lord, that want to serve Him. And here's what you'll find out. They will encourage you. They'll help you to grow spiritually. I remember years ago, I didn't know nothing about the Word of God, and standing around a bunch of men, and they was talking about something. I don't even remember what the subject was, but they're just talking about the Word of God. I wanted to say something so bad, Brother Dustin. I mean, I wanted to be a part of that conversation, and I didn't know nothing. But being around them, you know what happened? I went home and I started studying. What they were talking about, I started studying. And you know what? The next time they got together and they started talking, you know what? I had something to say. Hey, I could be a part of this conversation. Had I never had those companions, I would have never done that. You get the right people in your life, the right friends in your life, they'll help you grow. They'll influence you. They'll be an example for you to follow. Have the right companions, the right companions, the happy man, the right counsel, the right companions. Have some convictions about your life. Guys, don't be a scorner. Don't be one of those that just mocks the Word of God. Be the one that says God's Word is right and I'm going to obey it, whatever the cost. Don't be one of these that pick and choose what you're going to obey out of the Word of God. It's either all right or it's all wrong. We don't say, this is right, I'll do this. No, I'm not doing this, I don't agree with this one. That ain't how it works. The Word of God's right. Obey it. And guys, crave to be fed from the Word of God. Let the Word of God be what you delight in, what you love, what you want to spend your time doing, just hoping that God will move and speak to your heart. Let's stand our feet now. Someone wants to come to the piano. Yes, for Proverbs 4, what?
14 through 22.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. How far do you say to read, Brother King?
22.
My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Guys, we got to have the Word of God. You got to have the conviction in your heart that God's Word is right. You got to follow it. Don't waste your life. Don't make decisions in your life now that you're going to have to live with and just be miserable the rest of your life. Have a happy life. While Emily plays, I ask y'all just bow your heads. Young people, you may be here. Maybe you're struggling.